Hello and welcome to your GCSE English Language Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you've tuned in today because we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics on your course, regional language variation. Whether you're from Yorkshire, London, Newcastle or anywhere in between, this topic is literally about you and the way you speak. So let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll understand what dialect and accent actually mean, how to apply the six language frameworks to regional data, why attitudes towards language matter in the exam, and exactly how to pick up marks in your Component 3 assessment. Let's start with the big picture. So, what is regional language variation? Simply put, it's the idea that English isn't one fixed, uniform thing. It changes depending on where you are, who you're talking to, and when you're speaking. The English spoken in Newcastle sounds different from the English spoken in London, which sounds different again from the English spoken in Edinburgh or Cardiff. And that's not just about accent, it goes much deeper than that. Let's nail down two terms you absolutely must know. First, dialect. A dialect is a variety of a language that differs from other varieties in terms of grammar, vocabulary, and sometimes pronunciation. So when someone in Yorkshire says "tha" instead of "you," or uses "nowt" to mean nothing, that's dialect. It's not wrong, it's just different. Second, accent. An accent refers specifically to pronunciation, the way sounds are produced. So two people might use the same standard English grammar and vocabulary, but still have very different accents. A Geordie accent and a received pronunciation accent both speak standard English, but they sound completely different. Now, here's a key concept, the dialect continuum. Think of it as a sliding scale. At one end, you have broad regional dialects, strong local features, distinctive vocabulary, non-standard grammar. At the other end, you have standard English and received pronunciation, sometimes called RP, which is the prestige variety associated with education, broadcasting, and formal contexts. Most speakers sit somewhere in the middle, shifting along that continuum depending on the situation. This is called code switching, and it's something you probably do yourself without even realising it. Let's talk about the six language frameworks, because these are your analytical toolkit for the exam. You need to be able to apply all six to any piece of spoken or written data. Framework 1. Phonology. This is about sounds and pronunciation. Key things to look for include the bath trap split. In Northern English, words like bath and trap use the same short vowel sound, while in Southern English, bath uses a longer vowel. Then there's the glottal stop, replacing the T sound in words like butter or water with a brief closure of the throat. Rhoticity is another one. Some accents, particularly in the southwest of England, pronounce the R after a vowel. And H-dropping, omitting the H at the start of words like house, is associated with many regional and working class accents. Framework 2. Lexis. This is vocabulary. Regional dialects often have distinctive words. Bairn in Geordie and Scottish English means child. Mardy in East Midlands English means soft or cowardly. Canny in Geordie means good or nice. When you spot regional vocabulary in data, name it, quote it, and explain what it tells you about the speaker's identity and background. Framework 3. Grammar and syntax. Regional dialects often use non-standard grammatical structures. Double negatives, like "I didn't do nothing," are common in many dialects. Pronoun variation, using "them" instead of "those," as in "them books," is a feature of several northern dialects. Verb agreement differences, like "we was" instead of "we were," appear in many regional varieties. These aren't mistakes, they're systematic features of those dialects. Framework 4. Morphology. This is about word formation. Look for dialectal suffixes or prefixes, or the use of archaic morphological forms. Some dialects retain older plural forms or verb endings that standard grammar have lost. Framework 5. Semantics. This is meaning. Words can carry different connotations in different regional contexts. Think about how a word like proper means very or really in Geordie. That's proper good, but functions differently in standard English. Semantic shift over time is also relevant here, as words change meaning across centuries. Framework 6. Discourse. This covers how texts are structured and how cohesion is created. In spoken data, look at turn-taking, topic management, and the use of discourse markers. Regional varieties often have distinctive features,
like the use of like as a quotative marker in many modern urban dialects, or in it as a tag question.
Now let's talk about something the exam really rewards, critical evaluation of attitudes towards language. This is where many candidates lose marks, so pay close attention. Attitudes towards regional dialects are not neutral. Throughout history, and even today, some varieties of English have been judged as correct or educated, while others have been dismissed as lazy or incorrect. This is called linguistic prejudice. The concept of prestige is crucial here. Received pronunciation and standard English carry overt prestige. They're associated with education, authority, and social mobility. But regional dialects carry what linguists call covert prestige. They signal solidarity, authenticity, and group identity. Neither is linguistically superior. They serve different social functions. In the exam, when you're asked to evaluate attitudes, don't just describe them, interrogate them. Ask, whose interests does this attitude serve? What does it reveal about power and social hierarchy? How have these attitudes changed over time? That critical perspective is what pushes you into the higher mark bands. Let's look at language change over time, because component 3 covers the period from around 1550 to the present day. In 1550, there was no single standard form of English. Regional variation was even more pronounced than it is today. The printing press began a process of standardisation. Printers needed a consistent form of the language, and the London dialect gained influence. The King James Bible of 1611 was enormously influential in spreading a particular form of written English. Then came the rise of prescriptivism in the 18th century. Grammarians began codifying correct English, often dismissing regional and working class varieties. The 19th century brought industrialisation and urbanisation, leading to dialect levelling, the smoothing out of extreme regional differences. The 20th century saw the rise of broadcasting, with the BBC initially promoting RP as the correct accent. Today, we see a much more complex picture. Estuary English has spread widely. Multicultural London English has emerged as a new urban variety. And digital communication is creating new forms of written language that blur the boundaries between speech and writing. Now for your exam tips. First, always use linguistic terminology accurately. Don't just say, the speaker uses a different word. Say, the speaker uses the dialectal lexical item, bairn, which is characteristic of Geordie and Scottish English varieties. That precision earns marks. Second, always analyse data comparatively. Component 3 rewards candidates who can compare varieties, compare time periods, and compare modes. Third, don't just describe, evaluate. The mark scheme rewards critical evaluation of attitudes. That means forming a judgment and supporting it with evidence. Fourth, use the phonemic reference sheet provided in the exam. You don't need to memorise every IPA symbol. The sheet is there for you. Fifth, structure your responses carefully. Extended responses need a clear argument, not just a list of observations. Common mistakes to avoid. Number one, treating non-standard dialect features as errors. They are not errors. They are systematic features of a variety. If you write, the speaker makes grammatical mistakes, you will lose marks. Number two, ignoring contextual factors. Mode, field, function, and audience all affect language choices. Always contextualise your analysis. Number three, failing to synthesise. The highest marks go to candidates who can draw on knowledge from across the course, connecting regional variation to social variation, to historical change, to attitudes and ideologies. Quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast and try to answer each one before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the difference between a dialect and an accent? Answer. A dialect includes differences in grammar and vocabulary, as well as pronunciation. An accent refers only to pronunciation. Question 2. What is the Bath trap split? Answer. A phonological feature where Northern English speakers use the same short vowel in words like bath and trap, while Southern English speakers use a longer vowel in bath. Question 3. What is covert prestige? Answer. The social value attached to non-standard varieties, associated with solidarity, authenticity, and group identity, as opposed to the overt prestige of standard English. Question 4. Name two processes that contributed to the standardisation of English from 1550 onwards. Answer. Any two from the printing press, the King James Bible, 18th century prescriptivism, the rise of the BBC and broadcasting, compulsory education. Question 5. What is dialect levelling? Answer. The process by which extreme regional dialect features become less pronounced over time, often due to population mobility and contact between dialect speakers. Brilliant! Let's wrap up. Regional language variation is one of the richest and most relevant topics in your English language course. It's about real people, real communities, and real power dynamics. When you approach data in the exam, remember your six frameworks, remember to evaluate attitudes critically, remember to compare and synthesize, and remember that every linguistic feature you identify tells a story about identity, history, and society. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing with real data, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!